Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And so we've been looking at some of these issues of where the Apostle Paul is going to start talking about some of the practical things of how the doctrine is going to work out of the life of an individual. And we've gotten to this point here of where Paul is starting to talk about the fact that he has given them some information, and that's why it says that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. So there's this issue of that Paul, Silas, and Timothy have given them some information, and that these saints have, as it says, received this information, and that they are actually applying it to their life so that way it can be identified as that they are doing the things that are a necessary part of the doctrine that has been laid out. Now, when we look at this issue of that they've received these things, we're going to see that it's talking about the fact that they've received this information as looking at it and saying that this is the Word of God, which is having an impact on them, and that it's the Word of God which produces faith. We know in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And Paul talks about the issue of Scripture. If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we see how Paul states this about Scripture. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." So the issue is that everything that is identified as Scripture, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, with the goal that the individual be looked at as being perfect or complete. So the individual has been made complete by the Word of God. And that it's going to result in the issue of the good works resulting because the person has all of that doctrine in them. Now, when we say all Scripture, we literally mean all Scripture. So Genesis through Revelation, all 66 books are identified as being Scripture, which means all 66 books are profitable for doctrine. They're all profitable for reproof. They're all profitable for correction. They're all profitable for instruction in righteousness. Now, individuals will try to pulling things and say, well, this book is a book of correction. This book is a book of reproof. You know, this is the doctrinal book. When Paul says that all Scripture is profitable for these things, it literally means that every book is profitable for those things. Now, the issue of when we look and it says all Scripture, we also have a principle of how we are to look at the idea of Scripture. And if you go turn back one chapter, so Paul has already laid out this principle before he makes that statement of that all scripture is profitable for those things. When he says in chapter 2, verse 15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is how, as we are looking at scripture, everything in scripture needs to be looked at through the issue of rightly dividing the word of truth. So I'm to be able to look at things and be able to say, okay, does this directly apply to me? So I need to know who the author of that book is writing to. And as I gain that understanding, then I'm able to see, okay, how much of what I'm going to be reading is directly applying to me. So we see that, you know, Genesis through Malachi, everything that is considered to be the quote-unquote Old Testament, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those books are written to the nation of Israel. They're dealing with what is known as time past. We have the book of Acts, which deals with some issues of the nation of Israel and how they failed at everything that they were supposed to be doing, and that the result is their stumble, fall, and diminishing, and that information is now, instead of the word of God going to the nation of Israel, the word of God has gone to the Gentiles. Then we have Hebrews through Revelation, again, books written to the nation of Israel, but instead of being things of time past, things that have already gone by, Hebrews through Revelation deals with things that are going to be the ages to come, what's out there in the future that individuals are going to have to be dealing with once the body of Christ is no longer the instrument that God is dealing with. The books of Romans through Philemon, that's the information that is written to the Gentiles that is for us today. This is the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul that he identifies in his epistles. We'll go over to Galatians chapter number 1. We see how Paul makes this reference here. We're going to read verses 11 and 12. It says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is making this statement here about the things that he has, that this information that he has been proclaiming, all of this information has been given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has to make these statements multiple times in his epistles because individuals struggle to see the fact that Paul was given this information by God. They think that what he is saying is his own thoughts because they're able to identify the fact that what is written in Romans through Philemon is different from what we see in the other books and how there's a different audience and it makes references to things that could never have been said to the nation of Israel when you're talking about how somebody is saved today and how someone is saved say by the fact that they put their trust in the work of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And how someone puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. This could never have been given to the nation of Israel. And that's what individuals start to see. And they start to try to discount what the Apostle Paul says. And that's why he has to keep bringing it back to the fact that, yes, he was given this information. And he's proclaiming it to individuals that way they could see the information that he is giving Now let's go over to Colossians chapter number 1. Because we see here how Paul is going to make a statement about his relationship with the Word of God and what was given to him and how he was completing the Word of God. Verse 25 of Colossians chapter number 1. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we see as Paul's writing, he's talking about this issue that was given to him to fulfill, or you know, another word of what that actually fulfill means is complete. So Paul was completing the Word of God because he was given this information that's known as the mystery. You know, things that were kept secret until they were revealed to the Apostle Paul. He is now revealing these things, giving this information, and individuals are now able to have that understanding of what was given to the Apostle Paul, the information related to the Gentiles, the body of Christ, the heavenly hope, all of these different things that you see the Apostle Paul make a reference to about this information that was given to him. Now let's go over to the book of Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter number 3. And we're going to see here Paul make a long statement here about this information. And you know, this is why you keep seeing him having to go back to this, because you know, we can see today how individuals, even when this information is shown to them, how they struggle to truly identify the fact that this is what's going on. And here in Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to start at verse number 1. It says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Now, Paul says a lot here about this information, and you start seeing how he makes a reference to the fact that this information was hidden. He calls it a mystery. He talks about how from the beginning of the world, everything that Paul is speaking of has been hidden. You know, that's, and you can see if you go back to Genesis 1, it talks about in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then from verse 2 on, you just start seeing him talk about the earth and all these different things of related to the reconciliation of the earth. And you don't see anything being made reference to about the heavenly places until we get to the Apostle Paul. And that's why he can call it a mystery. You know, it's the thing of it. You see Paul talk about to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. You know, In verse 5, this is which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So we keep seeing this thing being brought up about how these things were not made known, but they're now being revealed by the Apostle Paul. And we have the understanding of why it is that this information was kept secret. We go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We're going to see a discussion that the Apostle Paul has here about the understanding that Satan had of these things. And we're going to pick up here in verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." The whole issue is that Satan, who has that understanding of everything that had been revealed, understood the plan of God, knew that the kingdom was going to be established, understood that there had to be a rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ if Satan was going to actually win. And so he pushed the nation of Israel to reject the Messiah, to have him killed. And Paul says if Satan had known and understood the things that had been laid out in the scriptures about this, that he would have, instead of trying to encourage the issue of the crucifixion, he would have tried to prevent that sacrifice from taking place, so that way the issue of sin would not have been dealt with. And we can see how, if we go over to Romans chapter number 15, and we can see a contrast where the Apostle Paul identifies in Romans 15 the issues of, you know, a difference between what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing during his earthly ministry and what it is that we are doing here today and through the Apostle Paul. Romans 15, verse number 8, we have a statement about the Lord Jesus Christ during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." So Paul identifies the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was confirming all of the promises that had been made unto the fathers. And when we know, we see the fathers, that's speaking about the nation of Israel, and that what was going on during those books was references and confirmation of everything that had already been laid out. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are just the next step of Genesis through Malachi. You know, so we see that it's this same information. And now when we get over here in this same chapter, let's skip down now to verse number 16. It says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You know, this was something that could not have been said of what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. know, this is a completely different thing, a completely different message, and this is what these saints in Thessalonica were receiving of the Apostle Paul. We see, let's go over to chapter 16. We're going to read verses 25 and 26 here in the book of Romans. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And we see how Paul can identify what he's doing. He says, according to my gospel, says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So talking about the way that Paul was preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that he was preaching was according to the preaching, you know, according to that revelation of the mystery, that he is functioning exactly as God intended for him to function. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to, again, see how Paul brings up this issue of the things that individuals received. And we're going to read the first four verses. We're going to look at that gospel message here. And it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So Paul, writing to these saints in Corinth, talks about how they received this information from Paul. And Paul is declaring the fact that he was preaching the things that he received. So what we have, based on the verses that we've been looking at here, is that Paul received the information directly from the Lord Jesus Christ of what he was to be preaching to us during this dispensation. And the Apostle Paul turned around and preached this information to as many individuals as he could. Everyone that he was encountering, he was giving this information so that way they could receive it in that same manner. So we see this progression of it going from the Lord Jesus Christ to Paul, from Paul to all these people that he was preaching to. So the end result would be the fact that these individuals would then be able to go and do the same thing of preaching this information. We can go over here to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we see how Paul writes this thing of encouragement to Timothy here. And we're going to read verse number 2 to see what the goal this is when it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the goal was to take this information that the Apostle Paul has been preaching, give it to other individuals, so that way they could be able to go out and teach this message, so that way everything would keep going according to what the doctrine has been laid out. And we would see that Paul wants to make sure that individuals can keep having access to this information. Now, next week, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at some of the objections that individuals might have to this idea that Paul had received some special information that he was giving, and think because individuals will say that Paul and Peter were preaching the exact same thing. So that's what we're going to pick up with in our next episode here. So as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have some study articles, some study charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have some of our older Sunday services. You know, the audio files are there. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.